just chat a little bit. We're talking now with Colin Woodall, of course, the CEO, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Colin, I know it's been really good for the organization, the cattle members themselves, to be able to come to Nashville and actually network, see the trade show, attend the general session. I know there's been a lot of buzz in the air just to be able to be back together.
Tremendous amount of buzz because, as you said, people just want to see their friends. They want to shake hands. They want to share a beer, share a steak, and that's what we're able to do here in Nashville. So we're having a lot of fun, but at the same time, we had to get together to do the business of the association. This is where we make decisions that help guide us in our interaction with the Biden administration, with Congress, with other groups, and in particular, here, setting out some very robust sustainability goals.
Tell me about the decision to actually establish a sustainability plan.
You know, this issue of sustainability is not going away. I think for those of us in the cattle business, for years we thought this might just be a fad and we wouldn't have to worry about it. But sustainability is here. And so we had to really step back and think, what does it mean to us? We don't want more rules and regulations. We don't want to have the government come in and tell us what we have to do in terms of sustainability. So we said, in order to prevent that from happening, we need to get ahead of this. We need to lead the discussion and we need to define this on our own terms. That's why we put together a working group to look at what sustainability means to us.
And you've actually established goals that you announced today.
We have. The biggest one is our commitment to being climate neutral by 2040. That's a bold and audacious goal. It's something that we gave a lot of thought to before we put it out there. But we know that it is doable. And it's doable because when you look at the carbon cycle, specifically methane and how it's a part of the carbon cycle, that methane's only up in the atmosphere for about a decade before it's then reabsorbed. So we can show quite clearly we're part of the solution, not part of the problem, because our grazing lands can absorb that methane, grow good grass, and then our cattle can come along, graze that grass, and put a high-quality protein on the plate for consumers. So it's a win-win for all of us, a win-win for the government, win-win for producers, win-win for the consumer, and that's why we decided to go after that climate-neutral goal.
And very doable, because with the announcement even earlier this week, IPCC acknowledging, the United Nations acknowledging that short-lived nature of methane.
That's right. Trying to get the GWP star, which means global warming potential, and star is just the methodology that really does carve out that methane, is a much more realistic and accurate measurement of how methane is treated. For years, methane has been treated much differently, and that's why people continue to point at us as being the problem. But this new methodology allows us to be a part of the solution. Not to mention that there is a commitment to continual improvement by this industry. We're better now than we were 5 years ago. We're better now than we were 50 years ago. We'll be better in another 5 and 10 years. So we know that continual improvement, the research that's going on, when you look at corn varieties that help reduce methane, we'll be able to reach that goal. We're pretty confident.
Let's talk about, you mentioned the Biden administration. Some things that they're thinking quite a bit differently about compared to the Trump administration. And that's, I know, a subject of some of the talk here in the hallway and the committee meetings and decisions being made.
Much different from where we were a year ago when we were celebrating a lot of the victories that we had on things such as repeal and replace of WOTUS. But here we are a year later and we're talking about repeal and replacing WOTUS again, this time under President Biden and his administration. The one thing that I'll tell all your listeners, and one thing that we're optimistic about, is while, yes, a lot of these fights are coming back, we're at the table. And the Biden administration has allowed us to be at the table. They've invited us to the table. And we're having conversations not only with Secretary Vilsack in USDA, but with Administrator Regan at EPA and with the White House staff. So that gives us a lot of optimism and confidence that we can try to guide this discussion in the right way. You know, if they want to change it, we're going to have to go along and be a part of this. But it doesn't mean that we have to accept what they want. We can try to build it the way we need it to be. And that is a rule that ultimately protects our property rights and prevents things from, like ditches, from becoming a water of the United States. I still think we can do that.
When you look at, of course, the other big issue for the Biden administration right now is all the spending that they and the majority in the House and Senate are trying to achieve right now. So much money needed, they're looking for ways to find it and have places to find it.
Well, you know, a trillion here and a trillion there. Soon you're talking about real dollars, Ron, and that's a concern because ultimately somebody has to pay for this. And right now it looks like it's farmers and ranchers that are going to get caught paying for it because they're talking about taking the death tax and reducing the exemptions that we currently have down to as low as 2.5 million or 3.5 million. And everybody knows at this day and age, you don't have to have a very big operation to have assets in excess of $2.5 to $3.5 million. On top of that, they want to eliminate the step up in basis. So then you're paying capital gains taxes on the value of your operation from the time that your parents, grandparents, great grandparents, or great great parents bought that land. That is absolutely going to destroy family farms and ranches. We're going to have to sell off portions of these operations to sell the pay off the taxes. And going back to our previous conversation, if the president really wants to address climate, he needs open space. He needs grazing lands. He needs agriculture, but his tax proposals are going to cause that to be sold off and could be sold off to developers. And the first crop of row houses that pops up is the last crop that land's ever going to grow.
The environment out in the country being stirred by some groups that don't agree always with what NCBA's positions are. Sometimes we call them populist groups, but there are people that are really wanting to challenge some of the things that your members hold near and dear, including the dollar head beef checkoff. It's under attack right now.
You know, there's a lot of yippers out there in the countryside. There's no doubt about it. But we are the oldest and largest national trade association representing this industry, and we're proud of that. And we're showing that here in Nashville when you look at the number of people that are here that are directing what we do and where we go. And yes, there are attacks on us every day, but we have our eyes focused on taking care of business and what we need to achieve in Washington, D.C. And you, of course, talked about the checkoff and the attacks on the checkoff. You know, we're celebrating 35 years of that program. It's probably one of the most successful self-help programs that's out there. And all you have to do is look at the results. We have a 33-year high when it comes to beef demand. That's not by accident. It is because of what we have done to do research, to do promotion. You know, Beef It's What's for Dinner is recognized by over 70% of the American population. That is a testament to the great work that the checkoff has done. And even though there have been attacks, it seems like every time we turn around, we're able to beat those attacks back based upon the results that we have delivered, that the checkoff has delivered, and we will continue to deliver.
And you got a very satisfying win, I know, from the federal district court here just literally, 2 weeks ago?
That's right. So the process of government oversight of these programs, of the checkoff program, was vindicated when the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals came out and said that, no, the government's doing what they need to do, and these dollars are being accounted for appropriately. They're being utilized appropriately, and that's what NCBA is always going to be committed to. We are never going to put our integrity as association or the integrity of the checkoff in jeopardy. You know, quite clearly the law says that we cannot use those dollars for lobbying or any policy issues, and we do not. And that's audited not only by us internally, but it's audited by the Cattlemen's Beef Board, it's audited by USDA, and at times it's audited by the Office of the Inspector General at USDA. So we can hold our head high on the way that we use these dollars as a contractor, and the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals agreed.
And that particular decision, especially beneficial for the Federation.
Absolutely. The Federation of State Beef Councils is the heart of the checkoff. It is truly a major component of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And of course, that lawsuit was originally focused on the Montana Beef Council, and then we have been able to take the memorandum of understanding that was put in place for even additional oversight and spread it to beef councils across the country. So there is no doubt that the oversight by USDA is there, it's being exercised, and we can all be very comfortable in the way these dollars are being spent to help producers.
You mentioned Beef It's What's for Dinner. That's one of the programs, of course, NCBA actually contracts with the CBB Ford as far as the domestic marketing efforts. You've kind of hinted that you're hoping to see maybe a fresh look at that.
Yeah, we are taking a fresh look at that, and it's good to recognize that, yes, we are a contractor to the beef checkoff. We are not the beef checkoff. A lot of people don't really understand that. There are about 9 contractors right now working on it, but we are the one that opens or manages Beef It's What's for Dinner, and that is, again, an iconic American brand going back several years now. And we are looking at how we just continue to evolve it and make it better in today's media. You know, putting TV commercials on a major network on a Sunday night just doesn't cut it like it did in 1993. But we have ways to take Beef It's What's for Dinner, put it on digital marketing, put it on social media, and continue to build that brand. And we've been very successful. In fact, we just had a partnership with Sam's Club where Beef It's What's for Dinner was on their online website. And because of that, for every checkoff dollar we spent, we sold an additional $34.36 worth of beef. That's a really good return on that $1.
Indications from Cattle Facts. Better cattle prices ahead over the next couple of years, tighter cattle supplies to go with that, and worries about the drought expressed during that Outlook session. I know you're hearing from your producers about that as well.
Oh, we are. Everybody's worried about the drought, worried about the fires. But, you know, we have, in some cases, people that just have too much moisture right now, and they can't even get in their hay fields. So it is from feast to famine in a lot of cases, and all of it is not necessarily good. So that is a concern as we look at the viability of our industry, knowing that whenever we liquidate cattle, yeah, it has a positive impact on the market. But if you don't have the cattle to be able to capitalize off that positive impact, then you're in a bad place. So we continue to work with USDA and Congress on disaster relief and doing everything we can to just make the market as robust and as transparent as possible.
Finally, you know, as you reflect on this meeting and some of the, I guess, marching orders you're getting from volunteer leaders and participants in your meetings, what's the takeaway that you've got in your mind that you'll be obviously directing your staff in the days to come?
Well, you know, it's reassuring that everybody's in a pretty good mood right now. Given all the challenges out there, everybody seems to be in a positive mood. So it shows that a lot of the work that we're doing as NCBA is resonating. But as we go back, we're going to be focused on taxes. Taxes are the number one issue in Washington, D.C. We have to make sure that we are not balancing the budget on the backs of farmers and ranchers like we talked about. So that is going to be a focus. And then, again, doing what we can to try to help with the current drought situation in terms of disaster assistance, forest fires, wildfires, etc. So we'll be spending a lot of time there and just that continued charge to spend these checkoff dollars well and to promote our product.
Colin, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay, great.